and be given to it at the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall stand up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up into judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, again we have read exceedingly precious portions from thy word, telling us about thy Son. You have so much to declare unto us concerning him, and we continue to marvel at all the things that you display to us day by day, the things over the years, and then as we have grown in years, our Father, the deeper things concerning thy Son. We are thankful that all of them thrill our souls or cause sadness to swell up in our soul, but whatever the emotions that come forth from us, they are made worthy because they are things concerning thy Son. And we desire to learn more of him this night. God, this is what we prayed this morning. That same prayer we pray tonight. Because at no time are we sufficient of ourselves, and have we strength of ourselves. Therefore, we are cast upon thee. So forgive and empower and prepare hearts to receive the truth concerning thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The message tonight is a consideration of the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ, part 2, from the Synoptic Gospel. This morning, I told you about our Lord's greatness only from one Gospel, only from the Gospel of John, and I quoted to you from Hebrews this verse. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the chief spoil. What we're going to do, first of all, is to consider the greatness of the man of whom Hebrews spoke, Melchizedek, and then we're going to consider the greatness of another man that is spoken of as so great that there was no one superior to him. Who was that? John the Baptist. Of all those born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And from these two men, though it does not say our Lord is greater, we deduct that he is the way that I'm going to tell you now. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the chief spoils. So here is Abraham, whom the nation of Israel would exalt to the highest heaven, and yet here is a man who, representative of all his descendants, Levi, who takes the tithe, is paying tithe. And he blesses Abraham, and it says without contradiction, the greater blesses the lesser. The lesser is blessed of the greater. So here is a man that is greater than Abraham. We found this morning that our Savior is also greater than Abraham. Now here is a man that's greater than Abraham. Is this man greater than our Lord? By no means. Because this man is but a type, a figure of our Lord. And inasmuch as this man, who is an historical character, he is not the Lord Jesus Christ, Because it says, he is made like unto the Son of God. If he were the Son of God, it would say, he is the Son of God, or he was the Son of God. But it speaks of Melchizedek, and he's made like unto the Son of God. So here is one in the Old Testament, a man among men. And God tells us of his genealogy in a certain way by not giving us his origin or his death. And he grasps this and draws truths from it, not only from what is absent in the scriptures, but also his name and also the sphere of his authority. He is Melchizedek. He is the king of righteousness and he is the king of peace. Melchizedek, king of Salem. And it says that this man is greater than Abraham. Inasmuch then as this man is but a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, then of necessity, the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Melchizedek. So we have another. Here is a king. A king that is superior to all the kings that came from Abraham's loins. Because not only did Levi come from Abraham's loins, and from Levi came Aaron and Moses, the prophet priest of God, and also the high priest of God. And we are told that these men, Levi, and also descended from him from the tribe of Judah, comes David and Solomon. So here is the Lord Jesus, and he is greater than Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is greater than Abraham, and Abraham is greater than David and Solomon. So what God is telling us by a comparison of Melchizedek with Abraham, that the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than this man. Then, if this is the highest of the kings of the earth, as men are regarded as high in the earth, then here is a king that is higher than this king, a Lord that is higher than this Lord. This is our Savior. He is one that is greater than Melchizedek. Melchizedek greater than Abraham, but the Lord Jesus greater than Abraham and greater than Melchizedek. Now, our Savior himself said, concerning John the Baptist, of all those born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. I will stop there. That's all I want to tell you. But this is what John the Baptist says. He says, there cometh one after me that is superior to me. He said, there comes one after me, and I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his shoelaces. Think of this. The latchet of his sandal was superior to John the Baptist. And the Lord Jesus said, among all those born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And the greatest of those born among women, that is without superior. He says, I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose the laces of the sandals of this man. So you say, well then, if the greatest of men and the greatest of prophets and the greatest of kings are spoken of, and immediately it says that the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than these, then let me ask you a question. Who is the person, in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Lord Jesus Christ is not superior to? You say, there can be no man. That is true. There is only one person that is greater than the Lord Jesus, and our Savior told us of him. This is what he says in the upper room discourse. He says he's going to his Father. He says, and if you really cared, if you understood the case, you would rejoice because I go to the Father. The Father is greater than I. You say, well then, on earth, there is no one who is as great as the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is greater than all personages that have ever been born of woman, that have been created by God. The Lord Jesus is greater than they. Only one is greater than he, and that is his Father. The Lord Jesus said it. Now do not hide from that scripture and say, I do not believe it. I gave you scriptures this morning sufficient to offset the balance that scripture,
But let me explain that scripture in the words of the Lord Jesus. That's the only safe way. Now listen. The Lord Jesus said, the Father is greater than I. The Savior also said this. He said, a servant is not greater than his master, neither one that is sent greater than he that sent him. It says that when the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven, he took the form of a servant. And the Lord Jesus said again and again, I came not of myself, but my Father sent me. So when Christ was on earth, I shan't go into the relationship of the Godhead. I will simply explain it to you this way, which is sufficient. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he was sent by the Father. The Father was the master. The Lord Jesus Christ was the servant. And the Lord Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. Of course not. Then in the economy of salvation, the Father is the master who sends his servant. I will send my son. They will reverence him. And inasmuch as the Lord Jesus in this economy is sent from God, inasmuch as he is sent, the Father is greater than the Son, because the Father is he who sent him. And at the same time, since the Father is the master, and the Lord Jesus Christ has assumed the form of a servant, it says, no servant is greater than his master. And if the Lord Jesus went and boasted that I am greater than my master, that would be something that was indeed blasphemous. But the Lord Jesus Christ always took that position, and its position also that is emphasized by Paul as well. It says that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in his incarnation, can point to heaven and say, the Father is greater than I. But having told you that, I bring to your attention the other scriptures in John 5, in John 8, and in John 10, whereas the scripture plainly tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is equal with God. It says, for this cause the Jews sought to stone him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And he never denied it. In one sense, the Lord Jesus Christ is equal to God. And at the same time, when the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 8, when they say, who makest thou thyself? And the Lord Jesus finally said, before Abraham was born, came into existence, I am. They picked up stones to stone him, because they knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was claiming a divine attribute. He is the everlasting. He's the ancient of the days. He is the one that is from everlasting to everlasting. You say, how remarkable. And again, they say, we're going to stone you in chapter 10 because you being a man, make yourself God. So, the scripture bears up the statement that the Lord Jesus Christ was equal with the Father, but at the same time, if you look at him as the servant, the one that the Master sent into the world to bring the good news of salvation, the Lord Jesus can say, my Father is greater than I. But think now. I told you, of all men, I'm going to specify others in particular, because the Lord Jesus did, and if you listen carefully, you'll have an exhaustive consideration of the greatness of our Lord in the respect of his comparison to men, but also to institutions and to religious buildings. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says, one greater than the temple is here. You say, I see. And he's not only greater than Abraham, and greater than Jacob, and greater than Melchizedek, and greater than John the Baptist, but he's greater than this magnificent temple. The Lord Jesus said that. Not only so, but he speaks of Jonah the prophet. He says, a greater than Jonah is here. And he speaks of Solomon, the king of Israel. And he says, a greater than Solomon is here. Having said that, let us contrast what our Savior has taught us in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. You'll find these passages also in Luke chapter 11 on a different occasion, let us consider how the Lord Jesus spoke of himself in John's Gospel and how he spoke of himself in Matthew's Gospel. I told you that whenever he was asked, "Whom makest thou thyself? How great are you? Are you greater than our father Abraham? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" The Lord Jesus would never say how great he was. He would simply compare what he was going to do with what Jacob had done. And when the comparison was made, a person would smile and say, "Yes, you are greater." The Lord Jesus would not say it. He simply demonstrated, and having demonstrated this comparison, men would come to the conclusion, why, he is greater than Jacob. He is greater than Abraham. Rather than Abraham contributing anything to the Lord Jesus, here is what the Jews would become infuriated about. The Lord Jesus contributed everything to Abraham. Abraham, the father of Israel. Abraham, the father of the faithful. Well, in whom is Abraham going to place his faith? In whom was Abraham's hope? It was in that promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would come from his loins as well. Because, as concerning David, the Lord Jesus is not only the offspring of David, he's also the root of David. But he is his offspring, and he is also the root of David. No problem are brought to our attention. So, in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus never declared his greatness. The Lord Jesus had others to ask, "Are you greater than our father Jacob? Are you greater than our father Abraham?" And the Lord Jesus would not tell them of his greatness. He demonstrated a comparison between himself and Jacob and himself and Abraham, and then would say, "You are greater than Jacob. You are greater than Abraham." That, in Matthew's Gospel, he plainly declares his greatness, his superiority to these men by name. If you ask, who was the most glorious king of Israel? Everyone would answer, Solomon. There's no doubt. Who is the one that preached a message of repentance and brought an entire city to repentance? They would say, elementary, that was Jonah. And the Lord Jesus gets this greatest preacher of repentance. And he says, the greatest than Jonah is here. And he takes the greatest king of Israel as to wisdom. And the Lord Jesus says, a greater than Solomon is here. However, the Lord Jesus was provoked into it. As the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, he tells of all the things that he has suffered. He tells of the revelations he's experienced. He says, now you have made me do it. The Lord Jesus did not just go around and say, look, look, behold, here is one that is the greatest of all men. It never happened that way. But some occasion arose that brought it about. And the occasion in Matthew 12 was this evil and adulterous generation represented by the scribes and the Pharisees coming and saying, Rabbi, we would see a sign of thee. And the Lord Jesus said, a sinful and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. And then he rebukes them. He is telling about the mission of Jonah the prophet and how it was successful. And then he compares himself to Jonah and he says, a greater than Jonah is here. You understand? It's not that the Lord Jesus just simply said, I am greater than Jonah. I am greater than Solomon. But because of this conversation, this sinful and adulterous representative of Israel asking for a sign, that the Lord Jesus brought out these truths. And in like manner, it was so concerning the temple because they have accused the Lord Jesus Christ of breaking the Sabbath. Two things. The Lord Jesus was accused by the Jews of blasphemy and breaking the Sabbath. And they were wrong in both these accusations, because the Lord Jesus did not break the Sabbath, and the Lord Jesus did not blaspheme. He did not break the Sabbath because he was Lord of the Sabbath. And he did not blaspheme the Father because he was equal with the Father. And yet, they had sense enough to know that his declaration made him equal with God, And they had sense enough to know that his behavior on the Sabbath day violated all their interpretations of the Sabbath day, and they were the ones that sat in judgment upon men and said what you may and may not do on the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus said, I, the Son of Man, am Lord of the Sabbath. Now, I bring those two things in for this reason. I've told you of all God's creatures, and God picks out specific ones, and he sets them before our eyes, and then he places beside them the Lord Jesus Christ, each one. And the Lord Jesus is greater. But not only that, there is a special holy day, a day set aside by God himself from creation, but then instituted for the nation of Israel when the law was given by Moses. And this great institution of the Sabbath that was held so sacred by the nation of Israel, the Lord Jesus says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And so there is no day that is greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is this temple held in such admiration as the temple of Diana of the Ephesians was held with such great reverence. Here is this temple that was held in greater reverence by the nation of Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of that temple, says, one greater than the temple is here. And of necessity, I had to complete the message tonight for this reason. I only gave you a part of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. I only told you that he was greater than Jacob, and he was greater than Abraham. And now I've shown you that he was greater than Melchizedek, and John the Baptist, and Jonah, and Solomon. And I've shown you that he's greater than any building, anything that man's hands had made, and greater than any holy day, any holiday set aside by God for the observance of man. And the Lord Jesus Christ is placed beside all of these things. And therefore, every material thing, every time thing that has an element of time to it, every man, whether low or high, whether royal or whether common, it makes no difference. The Lord Jesus Christ, in comparison to all of them, is greater. And so you say, there is no one greater than the Lord Jesus. No. And the Father delights for me to tell you this. Some people are afraid of that. They're afraid of worshiping the Lord Jesus. But you realize that at this very moment, the Father and the Son seated at the right hand of the Father, is being worshipped. And do you realize that in Isaiah 6, when they were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, they were worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what John tells us in chapter 12. It says, Isaiah spoke of him. He saw his glory. And that's what Isaiah saw. And they were worshipping the Lord Jesus then. And it says in Revelation chapter 5, and you have to see this by reading it carefully. It says, the Father and the Son are there, and the elders fall down and worship. And it doesn't say him that sitteth upon the throne. It doesn't limit it to the Father. But the elders fall down and worship. Worship whom? The Father and the Son. And I say that there is no jealousy. It is not as King Saul looking at David and saying, they have ascribed to me thousands, but they have ascribed to David tens of thousands. And there was jealousy. There is not that at all. As Savior says in John chapter 5, that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. It says, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father who sent him. And for that reason, the Lord Jesus knows precisely his relationship to the Father as the servant sent from heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows his eternal worth. But I must tell you the one time that without being asked, the Lord Jesus speaks of his greatness. And that is when he speaks to the Father. You say, how is that? The Lord Jesus said, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus was eternally with the Father in heaven? And the Lord Jesus was eternally glorious with the Father in heaven. But we would not have known that. The Lord Jesus did not go around and say, I was eternally in heaven, glorious with the Father. He never said that. The only way we know anything about it is that when our Savior in John 17 prayed, either one heard or the Spirit of God granted to their heart, keeping this precious portion when the Lord Jesus is speaking about the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. And the Lord Jesus said, Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world. You say, then, the Lord Jesus did speak of his glory. Yes, to whom? To the only one that was equal in glory to him, so that he would not exalt himself among men, so that they would not hear these words and take them the wrong way. But think of this. Had you been near the Lord Jesus when he was praying these words, think what effect they would have had upon you if you heard a man say, the glory that I had with thee before the world was. And you heard this man say, Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world. And you would think of these things and you would say, for here is an eternal being. Here is one that had glory with God before anything came into existence. And John has already told us in chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not one thing made that hath been made. If the Scripture is telling us anything, it is telling us at the same time the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ being that of the glory of the Father. But when the Father sent him from heaven, the glory was retained by the Father. And the Lord Jesus says, now that I'm coming back, I want that glory given to me again that I had with you before the world was. All right. If you ask, who is greater than our Lord Jesus? You say, as to his Godhead, no one is greater. As to his humanity, his Father is greater than he. What building is greater than the Lord Jesus? No building, even a temple that was given by God's instruction. That day is more sacred than the Lord Jesus. No day is more sacred than the Lord Jesus. And so you say then, he is incomparable. Yes, there is only one verse that can apply to him, and only one person that the Father would accept in answer to this verse. This is what it says in Isaiah. He says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Listen to it again. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? And I answer, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And the Father would acknowledge it. He would say, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And it is the will of the Father that all men honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And the Father is determined that Jesus Christ should have all the preeminence. And so, what God has done is to give us a few examples of the greatness of our Lord. And from these few examples, then we can take every other man in the Scripture, whatever his special characteristic was, and compare him with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, the Lord Jesus is greater. But in the examples that we have in Matthew 12, first of all, we have one greater than the temple is here. When it speaks about one greater than Jonah is here and one greater than Solomon is here, it's a word that's a synonym. One that is greater, and this is the word megas, and the other one is paius. One as to quantity, one as to size. It makes no difference whether it's quantity or size or greatness. Both of them are translated, one greater than Jonah, one greater than Solomon is here. So, what God has done is this. He has told us a special characteristic of these men. And he says, now, compare my son to this man in one way. Because Solomon is not exhausted as to his characteristics. You have not exhausted them when you speak of the wisdom of Solomon. Because the Lord Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. So you say, well, one of the characteristics of Solomon is glory. Yes. But that's not what the Lord is speaking about in Matthew 12.
There was also characteristic of Solomon, his wisdom. And God gave him that wisdom in direct answer to a prayer. God said to him, he said, ask anything you want of me. And Solomon thought it through. He thought of the great nation over which he was to reign as king, and he said, I'm nothing but a little child. He said, I need help. I need wisdom from heaven. And this thing pleased God so much, he said, you didn't ask for long life. You did not ask for wealth. You did not ask for the death of your enemy. He said, because you didn't ask for those things, I'm going to give them to you anyway, but you've asked for wisdom, and I'm going to give you that wisdom to such a degree that there shall never be a man wiser than you. And so we rejoice in it. And I told you about Jacob. Jacob in John 4, who dug that well and gave it to posterity. But here is Solomon, whom God gave wisdom. And if you read Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, if you read these precious portions of God's Word, you see the wisdom of this man. And God has taken the wisdom of this man and has left unto us a Song of Solomon, a Book of Proverbs, and also Psalms and Ecclesiastes. So here is one in his wisdom that has left of his wisdom to us. And yet, concerning the wisdom of Solomon, you say, how strange that this man with all his wisdom did not have sense enough to eschew the lewdness of foreign wives. It says that this man who started out so well in his youth and went on for so many years, it says in his old age, these foreign women turned his heart to other gods, and this displeased his father in heaven. And yet God had given him a nickname. He was the one that God had loved. And yet in his old age, this man that was the wisest of men did not have intelligence enough to eschew these evil women and to turn from the idolatry into which they led him. You say, how sad. And here is this man who writes 4,000 Proverbs. He speaks them, and God has given us a summary of them in the Book of Proverbs. And he wrote over 1,000 songs, and he gives us the greatest song of Solomon. And we may read that. But with all of his wisdom, he did not know where to place his love in a unique way. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. But instead of placing that love upon God, he placed it upon a multitude of women. And here is one who, when people came to him with problems, he would think them through. And he could see their deceit. And immediately he could go to the heart of the matter and give them counsel that was from God, because God had given him special wisdom from heaven. You remember when the two women came, and one had a dead child and one a living child. Which child belongs to which woman? Solomon, in a moment, figured it out. And so here was a man who could figure out and give answer to the problems of others, but he did not have wisdom enough to answer his own problems and give the solution to the thing that would draw him away from God. But here is the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says concerning Solomon that there was a woman, the queen of the south, and she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And the Lord Jesus says, a greater than Solomon is here. Whenever the Lord Jesus was challenged concerning any problem that existed doctrinally, even if they were trying to catch him in his speech, if the Lord Jesus chose, he would answer that question and confound his enemies, his tormentors. They would come to him and say, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar, or is it not lawful? And the Lord Jesus, with one sentence, could confound them. And at the same time, concerning the resurrection, the Lord Jesus could give an example that confounded them. And as to which was the first and greatest commandment, the Lord Jesus had wisdom to answer all the questions that they put to him. That wisdom was manifested when he was 12 years old by the questions he was asking those doctors of the law in the temple. But the superiority of the Lord Jesus is not only the more difficult questions put to him that the Lord Jesus could answer, but also the solutions that Christ gave to other men. He followed those solutions to himself.
And there was no one that turned him away from the love of his Father. The last thing he said in the upper room was this, but that the world may know that I love the Father, I go forth. And he loved his Father even unto death. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so here is Solomon, and God acknowledges he is the wisest of the kings. And yet, it says, a greater than Solomon is here. Because Solomon could see problems existing in others and give them solutions. And they were the correct answers and the correct solutions. But in his own life, he had not wisdom enough to keep himself from sin. But in the case of the Lord Jesus, this is what he could say, I do always the things that please my Father. The Lord Jesus, wise in having answers that Solomon knew not of, and having obedience that was foreign to the mind of Solomon, particularly in his old age. And here is Jonah. It says, they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater than Jonah is here. What is he saying? He is saying that he is the greatest of the preachers that ever came upon the earth. And men would acknowledge it. Even those that hated him, they sent police officers to arrest him. And the trouble and the mistake they made was this. Instead of immediately arresting him, they stopped for a few minutes and listened to him. And they were captivated. And they walked away empty-handed. They said, why didn't you bring him? They said, never man spake like this man. And so the Lord Jesus Christ could charm even his enemies by the word of his mouth. And in his own synagogue, he spoke. And it says those that listened to him marveled at the words of grace that proceeded from his lips. They all acknowledged these things, but they hated him, and they were ready to kill him. And yet the Lord Jesus was one who preached in a way that Jonah knew nothing of. And at the same time, with a conviction behind him and with a life behind him of which Jonah knew nothing. Who was it that drove Christ from heaven to come to earth to preach repentance to sinners and love to sinners? There was no one. The Lord Jesus came from heaven of his own volition. The Father wanted him to come. And in the words of Isaiah, he could say, here am I, send me. And here is Jonah. And the Father says, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry unto them the words that I shall tell thee of. And Jonah found a ship that was going to Tarshish, and he went in the opposite direction. And so here indeed is a prophet of repentance, a preacher of repentance, and he goes to Nineveh. But God has to compel him to go there by a storm, by being cast into the sea, by being swallowed by the great fish. And finally, he prays in the belly of the whale, salvation is of the Lord. And the whale vomits him upon dry land. And Jonah says, I'm ready to go to Nineveh. And yet, here is the Lord Jesus. And the Father looks upon a world of lost sinners, and he says, who's going to save them? And the Lord Jesus says, here am I, send me. And the Lord Jesus comes out of love, not out of duress, not of any compulsion that the Father places upon him. And he comes and he preaches repentance, the same as John the Baptist. But then also with that repentance, he preaches words of grace that cause men to marvel. And so now, I've exhausted everything with which I can compare the Lord Jesus. Building, days, king, prophet, father of the faithful, I've considered every conceivable type of man, and the Lord Jesus in heaven before the world was. We are thankful that there is such fullness in thy Son. And Lord, we're like those children that John speaks of. But we pray that someday we shall be spoken of as John says, I write unto you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. Let the desire of our heart be like that of David and like that of Paul. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And Paul said, that I may know him, and that is the desire of our hearts. Grant it, we pray. Let us know of the greatness of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.